Good afternoon. I appreciate that special music. That was very, very good. That scripture that came from Isaiah 40 is special to our family. We refer to it often, so I appreciated that. So a couple weeks ago, I, along with many others, we went to camp. Who went to camp this year that's here? There's a bunch over here. I see that, okay. About 95 people from Arizona went to High Sierra in California. So we had a good showing from Arizona. It was about half the people there were from Arizona. So today I'm going to show you some pictures of camp. I'm going to maybe be a little review for the people who were there of what we talked about, what we went over. We learned a lot. And for those of you who weren't there, maybe you'll see a little bit of what we did and what we learned. I ran the fishing program, which we were very successful this year. It was a good time. Everybody caught fish. I also helped with a class called Survivor, which we did some orienteering with compasses, looked at some of the foods, the natural foods around, vegetation they could eat, some they shouldn't eat, that kind of thing. Tina, she was part of the team building program, which was a very fun class. A big hit there was the kids got to use marshmallow guns. Always a fun thing. If you never used one, you're missing out. She also helped with the banquet at the end of the year, or at the end of the session, which was turned out very well. The entire week, it was just packed with activities. I thought when I went there that fishing, I'd be relaxed, not doing much, but it was very busy. Everyone is very tired when you're at camp. From the morning, early in the morning to very late at night, you're busy. It's just constant activity. So it was good. Everybody had a lot of fun, but we were also reminded that it was a church camp. The theme of the entire camp was Remember Your Creator from Ecclesiastes 12. You might want to just turn there now. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. So it was a church camp, and we were reminded of that. Every morning, we started the day with a flag-raising ceremony, a memory scripture each day, and prayer. Then we had breakfast, which was always very good. Then we started with a compass check after that, which I'll get into in a few minutes of what exactly that is. And every day had a biblical theme, and it was part of all the activities that we did. Camp, it's actually a mini way of life. It allows people to see what God's way could be like, or what life could be like if people followed God's ways. And it's a place, it's a small world where you see that God's way does work, that God's ways are good, and they lead to a good life, and they lead to fun. I can get this to work. You might recognize some of these people. So camp is a lot of fun. Fishing, I see you got Logan up there. Connor was doing this thing with twirling these things around for an activity. He had a huge smile on his face. Everybody has a good time at camp. It's a lot of fun. So let's turn over to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Now this was the theme of camp. And I read this. This was sent out to us before we went. You might want to put a marker in Ecclesiastes. We'll be coming back there a couple times during this sermon. So Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, it says, Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Which when I read that before, I was like, wow, that's great. You know, you're going to camp, let's remember our Creator. But then going on, it starts into, Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. And it kind of continues on like that. We'll go down to verse 7. It says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanities of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. So I was kind of reading that before camp thinking, this is kind of, I don't know if they read through this, you know, the scripture here. Seems almost kind of depressing. We're going for this, right? To have fun. And that's what camp's about, right? Well, we'll see here in a minute. You know, these scriptures are saying, don't worry about fun because it's pointless and you're going to die. So, it kind of seems strange to me. But when you go to camp, you quickly learn that it's not just about the fun. You realize that camp and camp being a small way of representation of life is about your relationship with God, which ends up being good and fun. So the question is, how do we fit God into our lives? How do we remember our Creator? Right? We're all busy, so how do we make time for God? Now actually, if you ask yourself that, it was kind of a trick question. That's not the right question we should be asking ourselves, but it is the question that people often do ask. The real question should be, how do we fit our lives into God's way and to serve Him? And that's what camp's about. And that's how you remember your Creator. Fitting your life into God's way and do it when He wants. Now I'm going to go through 4 points, and they all come directly from camp. Lessons that we've learned at camp and brought back here. Hopefully that it shows with all the campers and staff who were there. So my first point is that we need to have a compass check before we get started. Now, if you've never heard of a compass check, basically what that is in the morning, before we started the day, we would have a compass check, and it would be just a couple minutes, and it's getting your bearings, like where are you headed? Where are you headed for the day? What's important? And it's something we can do in our life, too. Just think about or say to yourself, am I going the right way, the way that I want to be going? There was a question asked at one of the compass checks that really struck me. It was asked, did you pray or study yesterday? And you can all ask yourself that right now. At camp, it was very busy. Life is very busy. But it was told to us there, that if we had not done that, that camp was getting in the way of God. And that was backwards from what it was supposed to be. God was supposed to be first, then camp added to that, to God's way. So a compass check, it's about where we're heading. Make sure we're not wandering or going in a direction we don't want. I'd like to turn over to Matthew 6, verse 31. And this is a commonly read scripture, which many of these will be, but they were used at camp, and I thought they'd be good to go over here with all of you. Matthew 6, verse 31 says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So it's about that compass check. Where are we going? Is that the primary goal, seeking God's way, His kingdom? And that's what we should be aiming our life to. It was also mentioned at one of these compass checks that the first commandment, it kind of goes along with this, the last compass check that I mentioned, but the first commandment is having no other gods before God. And it was mentioned by Mr. Phelps there that maybe that that's the first commandment for a reason, because maybe it's the easiest one to break. You know, maybe we put other things before God, stuff, fun, school, work, even sleep was mentioned at camp. So something to think about. If you're giving yourself a compass check, are we putting something before God? I'd like to turn over to 1 John 2, verse 3. And this goes along with, if we're putting things before God, if we're living the way, our lives the way we really should, or the way that we say we are, or that we say we should. In 1 John 2, verse 3, it says, "Now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I do not know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also walk just as he walked." So again, it's getting back to, are you really doing what you know you should? Are you going in that direction? Another example was given at camp was about the Sabbath. And we were all to ask ourselves, do we keep the Sabbath the way we should? You know, oftentimes we might say, or you'll hear people say, you know, "I'd rather do this. It's a little more relaxing than going to church," or "I'm tired for church, to go to church." Well, it's pointed out there at one of these sessions that, you know, the Sabbath is not necessarily about being relaxed or sleeping in. Sabbath might actually be a very busy day. It's not about what we want, us getting extra sleep. It's about putting our way or our work aside and going the way that God wants us to. So have a compass check. Where are we headed and how are we living our lives really? It's a good question to ask, and we were all told to ask this at camp. The second point that I want to move to is live committed. This is rock climbing. It was a very popular event there at camp. Took a lot of physical labor to get up there, up those steep climbs that they did. But in order to live as God wants us to remember our Creator, we have to live committed. We have to be committed. And this was also one of the themes, one of the days at camp. And this scripture was read, which we'll turn to, Psalms 37, verse 5. Psalms 37, verse 5, says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Now, this was read by Mr. Delamater at camp, and he explained this scripture to us about committing your way to the Lord. And the world often takes this idea and this scripture, and they'll say, you know, if I want something and I pray to God, he'll bless me and I'll be successful, or I'll make a lot of money and God will do this for me. And that's not exactly what that scripture is about. It's kind of translated that way, but it's not what it means. And it was explained to us that it means rolling yourself, committing yourself to God's way. Like, and it's something that took effort, like rolling a rock onto God's rock. And it takes commitment. I'm going to look at King Solomon. He wrote Ecclesiastes. And look at his story quickly. He started out with commitment. There was commitment issues in his life, and I'm going to look at some of those. But this scripture, it's not about you, the commitment. It's about God and doing what God wants in your life. So let's look at the story of Solomon. I'm going to turn to 1 Kings 3, verse 3. Now Solomon, he started out very committed, but going the way God wanted to. But then he had problems. So when he started, God was first. And if you look at 1 Kings 3, verse 3, it says, Solomon loved the Lord and walked in his statutes. He wasn't perfect. It says he made mistakes. But he loved the Lord and walked in his statutes. And what happened? He was blessed with power, right? Wealth, great things. He had the honor of building the temple for God. If you skip down to 1 Kings 11, verse 9, you can see where problems started coming in. First Kings 11, verse 9 says, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord. So what happened? Solomon, he lost that commitment, right? He had it. He was living for God, but he lost it. He started living for himself, for things. He was not remembering his Creator. And at the end of his life, Solomon realized this. And that brings us back to Ecclesiastes, where I'll read what he finished up with. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, I'll just read it from my notes. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So he's saying it's up to us to stay committed. And that can be hard to do, definitely. Well, if we are committed, we need to do something about it. We need to act. And that brings me to my next point. Definitely took a lot of action to catch fish. People had to do something to be successful at it. And it's the same for us. We were told at camp that we need to listen to God's word, and that means to actually do something with it, to act. To remember our Creator required an action. I'm just going to refer to the story in John 6, verse 9. You don't need to turn there, but it's about the story of the fishes and the loaves. And if you remember it, it says there was a lad who had these fish and these loaves. And it was said, what are they among so many? I thought of this story and I was thinking, you know, I'm sure out of the thousands of people there, there was someone else who had a sack lunch with them as well. But this youth, you might say a kid, boy, whatever, he acted. Right? He said something. He did something. And even though it wasn't much, God used that action to do a great thing, to be part of a great miracle. My point with that is it doesn't matter who you are, if you're young, old, whatever, God can use you if you act. He can use your actions to accomplish great things. At the banquet at camp, there was four speeches given, and they were given by teens, some of the older teens at camp, and they were very, very good. I really wish everyone here could have heard them. But there was one given by a teen from the Phoenix East Side, and he explained in his speech that what he learned from camp is that we need to change what needs to be changed. And he said there was something holding him back from being a light to the world, what God wants us all to be. There was something holding him back. And he knew from going to camp through several years that he had to change that. And it took work, and he ended up doing that. And his issue, his thing that was holding him back from doing God's work, was his shyness, his inability to speak publicly. It's something that's very, very scary to most of us, really. But he saw that he had to change that in order to accomplish some things in his life, and he did that. It was, once again, a very, very good speech. And it brought up the question, what do we need to change in our lives to let God's light shine through us? It could be anything. It could be speaking for us as well. Giving a prayer. I know I'm guilty of myself in the past, not wearing a suit coat, so I don't have to get up here to give a prayer, you know? Guys all know about that situation. Maybe it's us being able to explain our beliefs or how much we pray. Could be anything. Maybe how much we're involved in the church congregation. We all have things that we can work on, that we can take action and change, and to show God's light through us and to remember our Creator. I'm going to turn over to Titus 3, verse 14. Titus 3, verse 14, it's speaking on this exact topic. It says, "And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." So it's learning to do those good works. It takes time, it takes effort to develop those actions. So we need to act, right? We need to learn how to do these things. I'm going to also turn over to James 2, verse 14. It's read fairly often. And it speaks about this as well. Faith without works is dead. And James 2, verse 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which they need for the body, what does it profit? Thus faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." But just saying that we need to act. We need to remember our Creator, and that should show in our actions. But going along with that, we can't just do everything, right? We can't just jam everything to our life without thinking about it. In order to really remember our Creator, and let it show in our life, we have to prioritize our life to make things work. And put first things first. Now this jar, it represents your life. This example has been given many times. It's on the internet. It's given in businesses. I know it was given at the Women's Weekend once before, and I saw it given at a Bible study at camp. But this jar, it represents your life. And you can only put so much in it. So what we're going to do is we're going to have big stones that represent big things in your life, little stones that represent smaller things, and then sand that represents smaller stuff than that in your life. So let's just start off with an example. Can somebody just tell me what would a big stone be that you wanted in your jar? Anyone? What was that? Prayer. Okay. So you're getting it. God, right? Remember your Creator would probably be one of the big things that you put in your life, in your jar. Some smaller things. I talked about this up in northern Arizona. Some people mentioned mowing the lawn, going to the store, the internet, all these things that we do, but they still need to go into our life, right? They're smaller things. Well, the issue comes up is that you have to look at how you put them into your life. With this example, both of these jars actually have the same amount of rocks, pebbles, and sand in them. It just depends on how you put them in the jar. If you start off with the sand and the smaller rocks, the big rocks just won't go in. They won't fit. There's not room. But if you start off with those big things, put those in first, then you can fit the little stuff around it, and it will all fit in the jar. It'll fit in your life. And this applies to all the things we do. We're all busy. We have work, school, even sleep fits in there somewhere. And it's easy to make excuses of why we can't fit something in, why we can't pray enough or do enough with church or whatever, because we have all these other things going on. Well, maybe it's how we're putting our rocks into our jar. I'm going to read Ephesians 5:15. I can just read it from my notes here. It says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." We might say the days are short, which we all know that can be. So we're supposed to walk thinking about it as wise people. How are we living our life? We need to think about how we're organizing it. And we can all take a moment just to think, what's in our jar? This is a picture I got off the internet. This is not my priority list, but it shows an example here. We need to all identify what are our big rocks. This one here shows family, work, religion, all big things that are big things to all of us. We need to make sure we get those in. But what are some of those other things? Here it shows religion, recycling as being a pretty big rock that can't fit in. I don't know that I'd have a rock that big that says recycling on it, but maybe you do. Facebook doesn't fit in. I don't know. That's important to some. So you get the idea. It's about us, how we fill our life. What are we doing? How do we start? If you're having trouble with this or making your life or prioritizing your life, there's a very good booklet put out by UCG. It's called Making Your Life Work. It goes over how to prioritize your life, how to make life work, just as it says. Wrapping this up, this advice that we learned at camp, you know, it's not just for campers, it's for young, old, and everyone in between. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. It's something we all need to do. I'm going to turn back to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7, where we started. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7. It says, "Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and your head lack no oil." So it's saying there to enjoy the good things in life, do what you like to do, but take care of those important things first. It says, God has already accepted your works. And letting your garments be white means that you've taken care of those important things, the things that God wants you to do first. I'm going to skip on down to Ecclesiastes 11, in verse 7. Continuing on with the same idea. It says, light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. But let them also remember there will be many dark days. Everything still to come is meaningless. Young people, it is wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy. But remember that youth with a whole life before you is meaningless. And I'd like to add, is meaningless without God. And that was what that original scripture was talking about. Remembering your Creator. So we are not here to align God with our lives. And we learned this at camp. You know, that's not the point of our relationship with God. We are here to put our lives on the path that God wants us to be on. You know, remember your Creator. That was the main theme at camp, and it's really the point of our lives. Camp, it's very fun. Very fun and extremely busy. But life, same way. Very fun, should be fun. It's very busy as well. But camp shows us, did show us, that God's way, it's good and it works. And it is fun. These are some of the things, I think you recognize some of these people as well. And it's not, these lessons, they're not just for the young, they're for the old. There was 200 people at camp, 98 campers, 102 staff. And I can guarantee you that those staff members, they learned just as much as those campers. And that was really the point of going to camp. It's to see and experience God's way of life. Well, that's what we did. I hope you all have the chance to go someday. It's not just for campers. Any of you can go and be part of it. So with that, I'll say happy Sabbath, and let's all remember our Creator.